Good afternoon. My name is Mike Snelly. I'm from Oklahoma State University, an extension specialist there, and I'll serve as moderator and one of the speakers today. At our session, Novel Means of Funding Horticultural Projects Across the Globe. Thanks for coming today. Just two or three quick thoughts before we jump into our first talk, and this is just certainly my opinion, but I just want to share this if I don't get a chance later. And by the way, if we do run short of time, because these are pretty compressed, abbreviated talks, please join us right afterwards at our business meeting. If you're not already part of the family, we'd love to have you join us. From my experience, the dollars are achievable. The bottom line, a lot of times from my perspective, is did I have time to sneak away for a particular project? And I'm going to talk about that in my presentation. Then also, am I prepared to be flexible? Oftentimes, what you're asked to do versus what you end up doing when you get over to that country or countries are two different things. And then one of the many rewards, which is beyond the scope of this, I'm just throwing it out though, just from personal experience, you end up usually learning more than you're prepared to hopefully teach the people that you went to go over and lecture to. But we'll move on from there. I just want to mention to my speakers, so I'll give you at least 15 minutes and then I'm going to stand up. And so that's your heads up that we have five more minutes to for you to allocate out to either your balance of your PowerPoint, but hopefully leave about 3 minutes for question and answers with the group, please. And then again, although we're going to be somewhat rushed, please stick around for our business meeting afterwards. Having said that, let me jump in to the first talk, which I'm going to give. And I'd like to just mention just a few experiences I've had. Now, coincidentally, most of my short-term projects have not been in the greater Middle East. But this was a part of the world that was still wide open, so to speak, for this conference. So thus, I have just enough experience to be dangerous to talk about some of the things I have done. I went ahead and went with the greater Middle East versus the traditional Middle East because that opened up some countries that I actually have a little bit of expertise and personal experience from. So there's at least 25 countries that comprise the greater Middle East, and you can look that up at your leisure, versus what we were taught as the Middle East in school all those years ago. And so having done that, I can then get into Azerbaijan, Turkmenistan, and some of these other countries that I have worked in. So for current funding challenges, students and faculty sometimes forgo potential projects in the greater Middle East and other parts of the world due to the perception there aren't funding streams. That has not been my experience. I don't think it's been the experience of most of the speakers today. Many organizations routinely underwrite expenses for short or long-term projects. I've only undertaken short-term projects 2 to 4 weeks just because of scheduling issues, family commitments, et cetera, but I know there's also dollars out there for long-term projects, and perhaps some of my other speakers will address this. So address that particular point. So I chose just three very brief case studies ahead where I had boots on the ground experience and working overseas, in this case the greater Middle Eastern area, and how I was able to fund that. When gas is this cheap, we have no money at Oklahoma State, I can tell you that. So I have to grovel to other countries to fly and to work. So Turkmenistan is the first example I'd like to do. So the proposed project that I was invited to do about 6 or 7 years ago was to go over and conduct a female short course, particularly with an emphasis on greenhouse IPM and other greenhouse-related issues, which kind of fit in well to my past experience with greenhouse IPM, and half of my extension appointment is in greenhouse crops, so it seemed like a natural to show these ladies how they could get earn part-time income to help supplement their family obligations. Windrock International made that happen for me via Land O'Lakes. They took care of everything. So there really weren't any superiors that could shoot me down at OSU because everything was covered. It was covered in advance, by and large. The only thing I had to come up with, and I think that's probably been the case of some of my other speakers, is I had to find creative ways to cover vaccinations, things of that nature that I perhaps wasn't already covered for in terms of immunizations. Other than that, I can't think of any money that I was out, per se. So it's a It was an opportunity that I couldn't let go. So working with, again, Windrock International, I proceeded on to a trek, Turkmenistan, to teach about a 2.5-week greenhouse short course. I worked with the local farmers on both indoor crops and also some outdoor crop possibilities, and also talking greenhouse structures and potential glazings or coverings as they wanted to extend their greenhouse enterprise in that particular country. Again, my first and only time actually to work in Turkmenistan, just to be completely candid with you. Some of the objectives slash challenges slash goals on those crops, particularly outdoors, rainfall is in such low abundance that it was quite interesting to see them bring in, we bring in trucks to bring in fuel, they bring in trucks to bring in water. A lot of their citrus crops were below ground, whether it was just basically flood irrigation, as little as needed, just enough to get fruit set. Of course, that was beyond the scope of my talk, but it was a real learning experience. I went over there on the ornamentals end for the greenhouse training, and then also with the hope to work with them on specially cut flower exports, which I'm still determined maybe to go back another time on that, but given some of their irrigation issues and water scarcity, that may or may not be successful. Again, it was quite a learning curve for me, and you know, 3 weeks goes very, very fast when it's a brand new country for you. You can research all you want, but until you're over there, as I think all of you know, it's two different things. So limited rainfall, you can see that's what they were up against. Unless they had a particular plant or crops or citrus or whatever, it was quite barren in that part of Turkmenistan, right on the Iranian border, which of course was a very interesting thing culturally. It was wedding season, got to meet a lot of Iranians as well as Turkmenistan people, and we got to talk horticulture for both countries as well. I certainly didn't have a chance to go into Iran, but I got to meet some of those people that month. So here I am trying to do a multitude of different avenues of teaching. We did outside teaching, which I think I'll show in a minute. We had indoor sessions. Again, thanks to Windrock, they had everything supplied for me. I just showed up with memory sticks. Everything was paid. Worked very smoothly. Put me under a glass jar. I never felt threatened. It was just a fantastic experience. Again, getting back to the challenge wasn't finding the money. The challenge was finding the time and then seeing if I was willing to go over and take that chance, so to speak, to work with people that I really had no prior experience. And when I talk about being flexible, I think this is human nature anywhere you go, including our country. Yes, there's time for business, but then there's time for play. And these women, and rightfully so, were so proud of their culture in their country that we had more tea breaks than I could count. And the other thing that I wasn't prepared for was with my host family, we were hitting vodka from about 11 a.m. until bedtime. And wow, I can do a little bit of wine, but the harder liquors, that was probably my greatest challenge, was just trying to be erect and somewhat lucid during my lectures with all the booze cruise going on 7 days a week while I was over there. There is the greenhouse that I inherited, so to speak. So when I came over there, they wanted to talk solarization for some of the potential pathogens and insects in the upper few inches of the soil. They wanted to talk about glazings. They wanted to talk about potential crops, and we did all of that again in about a 3-week period. It was quite an experience. And then not to mention also pests and diseases, which is why I got hired to go over to talk greenhouse IPM. We're doing on time here. I've got to make sure I'm monitoring my own time. Awesome. Oh, my God. Hard nose. No, I deserve that. So let's go on to Egypt. And I'm going to go very quickly. Thank you, because I knew prefacing this would slow me down. The way I was able to work over in the Cairo area was a union of producers and exporters of horticultural crops in tandem with USAID. Again, all my expenses were covered. As a matter of, did I have the time to sneak away? Yes, I thought I could find the time to go to Egypt, which I did. The goals there were for the Egyptians wanting to be better relations with Americans in terms of the plant materials we could offer them. Much to my surprise, they already had a lot of nursery crops that I was not anticipating over there, despite the research before I showed up. But hopefully, one of the contributions I left, because ornamental plant materials is my specialty, are some of the other crops that I could conjure up in my mind that they could conceivably be growing, given their access to irrigation, access to the Nile, where they could blend water, et cetera, et cetera. And they were in better financial shape than some of the other countries that I've worked in. So those were the two groups that helped me fund that particular project. I got to look at a lot of crops. One of the largest pelargonium operations was over there. There I'm talking plant materials. And then one of the treats at the end was getting to work at Cairo University for one day before I left. So I'm almost out of time, but opportunities is able to broaden their horticultural crop exports. And then I do have 10. I thought that sounded funny when you said, you mean five? No, that's all right. Thanks. Because I was like, panicking there. It's like, God, I've got a lot of cool things to say here. So thanks, George. I'm going to get you when you come up. So I'm going to move my clock up five. Watch you sweat. And explore opportunities for faculty exchange between various countries. That's where I've not been successful, despite a number of trips over the last several years, is this whole reciprocal agreement. I've flown home with a couple of MOUs, but they've never panned out. They've never materialized. And I know I'm getting off the beaten path from funding, but again, funding is sometimes the least of your problems. I want to talk about some of the neat things or deliverables that you can get if you're willing to carve out the time. As an extension specialist, I hopefully gave them some ideas where they could do a better job bolstering their extension system over there. Again, we talked potential projects with OSU and Cairo University, and then, as I said earlier, USAID and then the export group made this happen financially, the bottom line. You can talk, but if you don't have the money, you're not going anywhere. Just a couple of fun slides before I move on. And then an earlier project, I was just so lucky I was able to slip into Libya back when you could slip into Libya fairly safely in 07. And the Libyan government paid me and some other people to go over and address some specific horticultural challenges. The challenge that I was asked to address was their decline of their native juniperous Phoenicia. And so I had some experience with, of course, junipers in our country. And so I went basically throughout the country of Libya looking at their decline problem. Bottom line, we think it's an abiotic issue. We're still working on it via email. Of course, I can't get over to Libya right now, needless to say. But it's amazing when your name's out there and you have a little bit of expertise in some of these crops, you don't necessarily have to have some of these special funding agencies. The government themselves will find the money, and that's what transpired all those years ago in Libya. So the bottom line is we came up with abiotic issues, mainly a water table that had lowered to the point that they were dehydrating, in my opinion. People from Great Britain had come before me and said the same thing. I think they just wanted to verify that. We couldn't find pathogens. We couldn't find insects. It's got to be a man-made or a woman-made or an abiotic problem, whatever you want to call it. But just another example. I want to mention that if you were to Google, it's just amazing how many sources of money are out there, not just for the greater Middle East, but for anywhere in the world. FinTrack is one that I haven't looked into, but it's on my to-do list. Trellis Fund as well. Bill and Melinda Gates, that definitely is worth your time to look at some of the fabulous projects they're doing. And some of them do involve the Middle East. Some of them do involve working with underprivileged women, which is kind of a side interest that I have, and I've worked with some female female short courses in addition to Turkmenistan, so I have a particular interest in that. And then there's the Middle East Partnership Initiative, which I don't know a lot about, but it's on my radar to get smarter on that and look at potential sources of funding. What I just want to say in conclusion before I bring up the real professionals is, just from my experience, two or three things I want to share if you haven't had time to go overseas yet. Even with some of these countries that are a little bit dicey, or at least dicey in the eyes of our superiors, if you're willing to sign travel waivers and be persistent, you're going to get on the airplane if you're willing to take the risk. I've done travel waivers for at least 3 or 4 countries. And with the exception of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which I did take a couple of chewings over, but is well worth it, because I just went over my shoulders and I had a good laugh at it and life went on. I really haven't been chastised over some of these other countries, particularly if I'm willing to sign my life away. I'm excited about some of the deliverables. I flew home with an MOU personally from Tripoli, Libya. It didn't pan out basically because of the way things have declined or deteriorated with our relationship with that country. And then lastly, I've kind of alluded to this already, the real challenge, in my opinion, and my speakers can certainly counter me if they disagree, there's always a way to find the money. The real problem is, do you have time, even for the short-term projects, do they work within your schedule? A lot of times I've gotten short notice, so like probably a lot of you, I've turned down maybe as many as I've accepted over the last 15 to 20 years. But even 2 to 4 weeks, I was talking to one of my colleagues earlier, the prep time before, the time you're there, and then all the catch-up when you get home, it's quite a commitment. But I've never regretted any of these trips. So the bottom line is there are dollars. I gave you a few examples of what I tapped into, and then I also gave you a very partial list of some other places that you could check into, particularly as it pertains to the greater Middle East. And I have about 3 or 4 minutes. I might just open it up for, it can be general questions about the session in general. It can be some of the things I've said about the countries that I've talked about, or we can move on to the next speaker.